Bruce Molsky, a multi-talented instrumentalist, vocalist, professor, historian, lots of great music behind Bruce. We're going to talk about all those things. We're going to also talk about an album that he released in last year, 2015, entitled 1865. He joined the Anonymous Four. It's an album of music right around that time period, 1865, right after the Civil War, right in the midst of everything recovering and the cruel war, as they refer to it. It's a great project. That's a great historical significance, and we're going to talk to Bruce about that. I think you're going to enjoy this a lot. I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I've been a fan of Bruce Molsky for a long time. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing great tonight. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Listen, I'm really happy that you have the time to visit for a while. We're going to tell the audience a little bit about you and a particular project that I can kind of use as a touching point to go back and forth as we discuss your career to date and what you're doing. But I do want to tell this story because I think it's interesting that, and I think it encourages people to go to musical events or go to conferences where music is being discussed, because I was at this IBMA event in Raleigh. It was the keynote address. We've talked about this for a minute off the air. Sat at a table. A lot of nice people sat around me. One of them was your wife. And she's talking to me about my name tag in Unreal Bluegrass and what the concept is that I kind of do. And she says, oh, you might like this. And she handed me this album, this CD that it's entitled 1865, The Anonymous Four with Bruce Molsky. And I immediately fell in love with it. Before I even heard it, I fell in love with the concept. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit. And by the time this interview has aired, the show will open up and the audience will have already heard Bright Sunny South. And we'll talk about that a little bit, too, is why I chose that. But first, let's talk a little bit about Bruce Molsky, your multi-instrumentalist. And let's just try to get a little bit up to speed for the listeners who may not be fortunate enough to know about Bruce. You're a teacher now. Where?
I teach at Berklee College of Music, and that's been a wonderful kind of thing that transitioned its way into my life. I've been teaching, you know, American traditional music for years and years, and I love to teach because I love to share the music, and because it's just a window for a lot of folks into something old, and that I love very much, and also because I learned from it, and. I never really knew what I did on an instrument beyond just kind of having it in my head until I had to explain it to somebody else.
Oh, that's a good point.
And it's good to deconstruct things and really understand what you're doing, especially music in the oral tradition, which is what I teach. You know, written music is appropriate to a lot of styles, but not so much to folk music. Of course, your bluegrass listeners would understand that. I mean, it's social music, it's communal music, it's music that's meant to, right, to get people together in the same place. And having the opportunity to teach it at Berklee, I just was here for one semester. And right around the time that Matt Glazer, a great fiddler,
yeah,
an old pal, started to develop an American roots music program here, because Berklee didn't have that component. And he stepped aside from his 30-year chairmanship of the strings department and started the roots program, and I ended up coming here to teach. And it's been one of the most wonderful things that's ever happened to me. So as I join you on the air tonight, I just finished with an 11-piece old-time string band, and we're working up a cowboy song tonight.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, I should have come on early. You could have put the phone on and let me hear.
I don't know if they'd
want it. Okay. Bruce, you play, I know you at least play fiddle, banjo, guitar. I know you sing a little bit. And it would be too simplistic to say that you're an old-time. You know, that old-time doesn't really describe what you do, because you really are kind of a historical, more beyond the mountain sound that old-time might be connected with. Talk a little bit about the style that you play and this history that you put forward in the music that you're playing.
Okay, well, just the kind of short version of how I fell into it was that, you know, I'm of the age where I came at the very tail end of the folk music revival, and was just listening to things like that on the radio and going to concerts. I grew up in New York, in the city, and that music was really all over the radio, and I've always been a radio buff. I still am, and I think radio is one of the best ways to put ideas and thoughts where people can create their own vision in their head. And I started to hear, actually I heard bluegrass music before I heard old time music, and it just evoked this kind of romantic painting in the back of my head of what it might be like to live in a place a little less congested than the Bronx. And I was just kind of taken in by the kind of simple beauty of it, and the fact that you could take a wooden box with a little bit of metal strings on it and make this beautiful noise, you know. And I got to see some really great bands that were coming through town without even really having a context for it. I got to see Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys when I was 14 years old, and I mean, somebody just said, go to that. And, of course, it blew my mind. So I listened to that, and just one thing led to another, but I discovered old-time country music. We call it old-time music because that's kind of the common term, but old-time music means different things to different people.
Right.
And, of course, there are regional styles that existed before radio and TV kind of homogenized what everybody was hearing. But people are, the styles change from place to place, the repertoire. And that really became the focus of my interest, is learning all these old kind of pre-World War II regional styles. And I just kind of fell for it. I mean, I didn't grow up with it any more than that. And so that was what I played for years. And I didn't even want to kind of poison my own well by playing anything else, although I did play Jimi Hendrix things when nobody was listening. But really, I just kind of focused my attention on that and blues guitar. And after a time, I got invited years later into a collaboration, an Irish-American Appalachian music collaboration with Mick Maloney, who's a great, great musician and a kind of a raconteur, puts together these amazing St. Patrick's Day shows. And I ended up playing with Irish musicians, which, of course, I never had done before. And I realized that, you know, couple of things. One is that the music I was playing had nuts and bolts and techniques and things and ornaments that could be used to play in other styles or to play out of other styles. That was kind of the main thing. And the other thing I realized I had been playing so long that I didn't sound like anybody really but myself, and that I wasn't going to be any of these old people who I love so much, that the music was the language of the old time country music was something I kind of absorbed for myself in my own way, and then I could use it to express other things. And it became this whole kind of secondary journey for me. I mean, I still play the old music, and as traditional a form as I can, and I love it, and I want people to know about it and know about all these older musicians. So, most of them are gone, and they left us with a lot, you know. But I also like to experiment, and it's just become a kind of spun out of control.
Well, you've probably figured out too, and though you've been doing this at such a high level for so long, there's still so much more to uncover, right?
Always is.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that this 1865, and this is a unique collection to me. This 1865 CD we're going to talk about, as we go throughout this conversation. I love the fact that they talk about the music being in the air, because we would talk about it being on the air, and there's a quote in the notes. The notes, they say in the air, and they talk about songs from the cruel war, not the Civil War. So these songs are in that context. So having said that, we'll talk about 1865 for just a second here as a kind of a jumping off point. How many of these tunes were you familiar with on this album when this project came to light?
Well, almost all of them. Marcia Janinski, who's one of the members of Anonymous Four, who really was the kind of project leader, she and I collaborated on a lot of this stuff. And the basic presentation of the music on the CD is how it was originally intended to be performed. A lot of it was sheet music. And the vocal harmonies kind of come from that. And, of course, they're arranging them. Anonymous Four is arranging, But a lot of those tunes existed, and they kind of worked their way into mountain culture, and they cross over really, really well, you know. So all but one or two things, pardon me, were were a couple of things were new to me. Picture on the Wall was new, and maybe Faded Coat of Blue, but they're both Civil War era songs. One of the things about the project that I really love, I mean, we thought very hard about the phrase "music in the air."
Oh, did you? Okay.
Because there's not one of the main things about this CD, which is important to me and which really drove the thing, is that it's not partisan in any way.
Right.
It's just meant it's just meant to express the kind of emotions and intensity and awfulness of what it must have been like to just live through something like that. And so we tried to strike a balance between songs that refer to the North and songs that refer to the South. And a lot of those songs were sung with North and South substituted in them. They apply to everybody.
Did some of the songs, did they both exist, let's say, on both sides of that line drawn through the nation, and just different phrases and different words and melodies?
Yep.
The melodies existed everywhere.
The melodies and even the lyrics, with just slight changes in, okay, the lyrics, you know, in the lyrics, they're kind of all over the place. A lot of those things were just written in cities for commercial consumption.
Well, if listeners were to pick it up, they would hear a version of Home Sweet Home, which is mm-hmm. kind of recognizable, a little different, but that's certainly a song that's survived to this day, and we hear it all the time.
Right.
And Listen to the Mockingbird, those things, geez, that's still,
yeah,
that I think that picked up a whole new popularity in the last century.
Listen to the Mockingbird was the theme song for the Three Stooges.
That's right.
movies.
That's right. That's right. So there, that great tune from The Cruel War, which is hard to say, by the way, because I want to say Cruel World, but I love the term in quotes, Cruel War, because it's not, to the people who are there, it's not the Civil War. It's just this horrible, bloody war,
right,
between families and friends and everything. And I think The Cruel War, it's difficult to say, is the best way to describe it. So,
yeah
the tunes definitely capture that feel.
I'm glad, because that was what we wanted to happen.
Yeah. And you play, of course, you add the fiddle, banjo. Were you self-taught? We were talking about how you picked up this music from radio and just things that you heard. Mm-hmm. Were you self-taught on these instruments?
I'm self-taught. I had a year of guitar lessons when I was 10.
Okay.
And after that, I taught myself everything. Just kind of, I just put myself in the middle of it. You know, it was a social thing, especially when I discovered fiddle and banjo. I just wanted to be, you know, I'm a young teenager. I just wanted to be in the club, and people, there were popular tunes and people were playing in the jam sessions, and I was just bound and determined to learn that stuff. And I just watched people and asked questions, but I never had any formal kind of lessons or anything.
Now, the style that they would have heard at the top of the show when I played "Bright Sunny South," it's banjo, it's the kind of I will call it the frailing or clawhammer or whatever. But mm-hmm. but the style is recognizable, but the note.